Thank you, Scott. It is a joy to be on the campus of IBC. Dixie and I have been looking forward to this for some time. It's been several years since we've had the privilege of being here, and it's a joy to be associated with Scott and Jenny and the kids, and also with some of the other students on campus that we've known in the past, and also to have the opportunity to meet some of you that we have not met before, as well as to be with some of the teachers of this great school. I'd like to commend Brother Coyle and his administration and the teachers for the fine job that you're doing with this teaching institution, training men to go throughout the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I especially appreciate the emphasis that's on worldwide missions. And this is a great school, and I'd like to encourage those of you who are preparing yourselves to preach or to be preachers' wives or whatever, to take advantage of this opportunity to apply yourself and to learn as much as you can. Don't go away from this school with regrets for not having applied yourself while you were here. And this is a tremendous opportunity for you, and we certainly hope that you will take advantage of it. We have many problems in the church today, and I'm sure that we're all aware of those problems, and it seems that as the years go by, the problems get worse. And we wonder sometimes, what is the solution? Will we ever arrive at proper solutions for the problems that we're facing in our great brotherhood? I'm convinced that preachers cause many of the problems that we have in our brotherhood today. I'm also convinced that preachers, more than any other class of people in our brotherhood, really can solve the problems that we have. The wrong kind of preacher can create greater problems for an eldership. The right kind of preacher can help solve some of the problems that the eldership may be having. And so for the next few minutes, I'd like for us to focus our attention on the kind of preachers that I feel that we need in the church today. And notice I did not say the kind of preaching. I believe that if we have the kind of preachers, the right kind of preachers will have the right kind of preaching. And I don't know of a better example for any of us to emulate than that of the great Apostle Paul, the prince of preachers, a preacher's preacher, as he's been described. And one sample of his preaching is found when he was preaching in Ephesus. And Paul spent some 3 years in this with this great church. And I'm sure that he had many fond memories of that three-year period, and some perhaps not so fond. And that's one thing that you realize when you go out in local work, that you will realize as the years go by, that wherever you go and regardless of the time that you spend there, you'll know how many years you spent there, whether it be 1, 2, 5, or 10 years, and you'll have many memories concerning that work, some pleasant and some not so pleasant. But when Paul was on his third missionary journey, being in a hurry to make Jerusalem the day of Pentecost, he stopped at Miletus. He wanted to call in at Ephesus, but he just didn't have the time. He sent to Ephesus for the Ephesian elders, and they came over to Miletus to meet him, and he had some very important things to tell these brethren. In the first place, he reminded them of the life that he lived while at Ephesus. And he says in Acts 20 and verse 18, "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind." Notice he says that they knew, he did not have to tell them, they knew it, that he had served the Lord with all humility of mind. I believe we can see dedication in the life of the Apostle Paul. He did not begin reminding them of the kind of sermons he preached or what he preached. He reminded them of the life that he lived. And that's first and foremost in a gospel preacher's consideration, the kind of life that he's going to live. We need dedicated preachers in the church today more than ever before. Paul was a dedicated servant of God, serving the Lord. People will know whether you're dedicated or not. You do not have to tell them. He did not tell them that he was dedicated. He says, you know. And he says, you know from the first day that I came into Asia. The very first day. First impressions are very important when you go into a local work. It's human nature to form first impressions. And after you preach your first sermon and you go home with your family in the preacher's house, in the motel or wherever it might be until you get settled in, you can know that the brethren are discussing you and your family. Some of them like you and some of them don't. Some of them appreciate your style of preaching and others don't. And some of them like your personality and others don't. And they compare you with the previous preacher and on it goes. But these things really aren't important. It's just human nature to form first impressions. And I'm sure all of us have experienced the time when we perhaps had formed an impression about someone, but it was proven to be altogether different. But regardless of how they feel about your style of preaching and all of these things, you be sure that they know that you're dedicated. And you simply do that by being sincere in what you say and what you do. Be sincere, be genuine, be self-giving, and people will know that you're dedicated. We need preachers in the church today who are dedicated to the Lord and dedicated to preaching. Paul was going to preach the gospel whether they liked it or not, whether they paid him or not, whether they imprisoned him or not, stoned him or not, beheaded him or not, because he was dedicated to the Lord and his cause. He was dedicated to preaching. And if you're not dedicated to the Lord, if you're not dedicated to preaching the gospel, sooner or later, brethren are going to find it out. And the power of the gospel is going to be weakened because of your example. Secondly, we need preachers in the church who will stand firm and faithful in the face of persecution and hardship. He says that with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. Paul served the Lord at Ephesus and other places in the face of much opposition. Gospel preaching always has its opposition. When Christ preached, he was opposed. When the apostles preached, they were opposed. When we preach, it'll be opposed by some people. Some people just do not want the truth. They do not appreciate the truth, and especially when it condemns them. And when you preach it, they'll oppose you. But that's when the true test of character comes in a gospel preacher. When you have your face with that opposition and you still preach it. Preach it in love by all means. Ephesians 4:15. The truth must be preached in love. But it must be preached regardless. And in the long run, you'll be appreciated for doing so. Oh, there was much opposition in Paul's preaching. He said in verse 22, "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Spirit witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me." What powerful words. And how motivating that is to us, regardless of the opposition we face, whether it be from within the brethren, within the church, or from without. Opposition is going to come, but when we can have the attitude of the Apostle Paul, none of these things move me. Sometimes you're going to be opposed by brethren with strong influence. Sometimes you'll be opposed by the eldership. Your job could even be threatened. But there again is the time that you must stand firm and faithful in the face of opposition or persecution. And if you cannot preach that the truth, you need to make up your mind now that you're going to preach the truth. It may be that you'll have to move on to some other place. And that brings us to our third point, where Paul says in verse 20, "How I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." There are a lot of gospel preachers today who cannot make that statement. As they look back upon a three-year ministry, as Paul did, and go over their sermon outline records that they've kept, the sermons that they've preached during those 3 years, to say, "I kept back nothing that was profitable." to these brethren. We have the responsibility to preach the whole truth. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul refraining from preaching on certain subjects but lest he offend some brethren? Can you imagine some adulterous marriages at Ephesus and Paul's fear of preaching on divorce and remarriage? Some brethren today refrain from preaching on anything that's controversial. It divides the brotherhood, and so I'm not going to preach it if it's controversial. And he's very limited in his preaching if that's his philosophy. I'm not suggesting that we preach controversial subjects just to be controversial, but I am suggesting that we as gospel preachers have the responsibility to preach the truth, and the truth is controversial. Paul said in verse 26, "Wherefore I take you to record this day, to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Now he says, "I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you." And now he says, "I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God," or the whole counsel of God. Verse 35, he says, "I've showed you all things." And we must make up our mind early in our preaching life that we're going to preach all the truth wherever we go. Preach it in love, but preach it. And then he says in the latter part of verse 20, "I've showed you, I've taught you publicly and from house to house." We need preachers in the church who will preach and teach and exhort and rebuke both publicly and privately. Both are needed. We live in a day and time when we have specialists and experts in our brotherhood. Some specialize in personal evangelism, some in pulpit preaching, some with debating or whatever, and they certainly have their place. And our brotherhood is blessed as a result of having these men who are specialists. And I think we have specialists in schools like this. And the men that you have teaching you are where they should be because they are specialists. But when you get into local work, there's no room for specialists as such. Because preachers of all brethren are to be ready unto every good work. And I believe that we have some idealistic preachers sometimes who feel that they're called to preach and not to do it, these other responsibilities that are involved in local work. I've heard brethren say, "Well, I've been hired to preach and teach and not to visit, not to run errands, not to pamper the brethren. My responsibility is to preach and teach, and I'm going to do the work of an evangelist." Well, sooner or later, some of these brethren wake up and they realize that a preacher's work and local work involves much more than just powerful sermons on the first day of the week. Great sermons are important. And certainly everything that we do, whether when we get in the pulpit and preach, we need to do the very best job that we can. Or when we get into a home Bible study, we need to do the very best job that we can in teaching this lost person the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or when we're counseling a married couple who are having problems, we need to pray about it. And we need to give our heart and soul to that to do the very best job that we can. But we should not think of ourselves as specialists in certain fields to the neglect of other very important parts of the work. Paul said, "I showed you, I've taught you publicly and from house to house." There are some things, some matters that are better handled privately. And sometimes a particular brother may have a problem, and so the preacher gets up and he preaches about this problem to the whole congregation. And sometimes everybody knows who he's talking about. Whereas sometimes it might be better to go to that individual in private and say, "Brother Jones, I'm concerned about a problem that you have. And I want to talk to you in the spirit of love and the spirit of Christ. I'm concerned for your soul." Sometimes I believe that Paul did that when he taught the brethren publicly and privately. And you see, public and private teaching complement each other. They go hand in hand. And someone has suggested that when we follow the admonition of Acts 20:20, we have 20/20 vision when it comes to gospel preaching. Keep back nothing that's profitable and teach publicly and privately. In the next place, we notice that a sample of Paul, the kind of preacher Paul was, and the kind of preaching he did at Ephesus, was that his sermons were Christ-centered. And that's the kind of preachers that we need in the church today. In verse 21, he says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul preached Christ. He was sure, he was determined to preach nothing but Christ. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. And if the sermons that we preach are not Christ-centered, that's not gospel preaching. But I believe sometimes a misconception has developed in the thinking of some brethren who believe that for our sermons to be Christ-centered, we must preach the person of Christ and tell about his life and his ministry. And that sermon must be centered on Christ himself. And when you preach doctrine, when you preach Christian living, then you're not preaching Christ. I don't believe that. I believe that preaching Christ is preaching the gospel. And when you preach any part of the gospel, you're preaching Christ. Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 20. He says, after you make disciples, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And when they went forth and made disciples of all nations, and then they continued to teach them all things, did they cease preaching Christ? And Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Well, you read Acts 18 where he went to Corinth. Verse 11 says that he spent a year and 6 months there teaching them the Word of God. Are we to assume that during that period of time he preached nothing but the personal life and ministry of the Lord? He never touched on doctrine. He never touched on the Christian living. Certainly we're not to assume that. And when he wrote to Corinth, what did he deal with? Read the 1 Corinthian letter and you can know that he said far more than just the personal life of Christ. And yet who would say that Paul lied? He said, I know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then he turned right around and wrote a letter like 1 Corinthians. We must be sure that our preaching is Christ-centered. In the next place, we must be sure that the church keeps its proper place in God's scheme of redemption. He says in verse 25, and now behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see not my face no more. Paul was preaching the kingdom of God when he was at Ephesus. And so today we hear much about Christ, yes, the church, no. We need to emphasize Christianity, not churchianity. Certainly, this is false. That was not Paul's philosophy of preaching. And we need preachers today who will see the proper relationship that Christ sustains with his body, the church. In verse 28, he ties the two together inseparably when he says that he gave his blood for the church. In the next place, we need preachers in the church today who are concerned for error that's being taught in the brotherhood. Whether it comes from the brotherhood or whether it comes from without and creeps in, we need preachers who are concerned for it and are willing and ready to warn the congregation they serve against it. Paul said in verse 28, I take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock, over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers to feed the church of God which hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Listen. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. What did Paul preach when he was at Ephesus? Well, he preached on loving God and the importance of loving God and loving our fellow man. Certainly he preached that. But one thing that we know that was very vital in his preaching at Ephesus was a warning against apostasy. Take heed, be on the alert. And the apostasy can come from without, it can come from within. And he says, I warned everyone. And I did it night and day. And I did it with tears. It was a serious matter with Paul. Sometimes we have gospel preachers who never, seldom, ever preach against error. Then on the other hand, you have gospel preachers, that seems about the only thing they ever preach. And their preaching is negative. And they see everything wrong with the church and nothing right about it. We must have a proper balance in our preaching. But we must certainly be sure that we are aware of the error that is about us and do what we can to avoid it. Very quickly, the last point we'll notice in this lesson. We need preachers in the church today who cannot be bought. He says in verse 33, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. You may not have, as a gospel preacher, you may not always have what you want, but you'll have what you need. God will bless you toward that end. But you need to determine within your heart that you're going to preach whether you're adequately supported or not. There's nothing wrong with supporting yourself if you're in those circumstances, working, secular work, and in order to keep preaching. Paul found himself in those circumstances. And we can thank God that in most situations today, we're not faced with circumstances like that. But sometimes that's the case, that there's nothing to be ashamed about. Paul was not ashamed of tent making, neither did he boast about it. But I cannot imagine Paul thinking of expanding the tent making business, maybe opening up branches in Corinth and Philippi and Thessalonica, and perhaps even getting out of preaching and going into secular work full time. Why? Because he was dedicated to the Lord. He was dedicated to preaching. Tent making just assisted him in doing what was on his heart to do. And that's the kind of preachers that we need in the church today. And when you live that kind of life and you're that kind of preacher, what's the result? Well, I closed it too soon. Look at Acts 20 in the last two or three verses. Verse 36, and when he had thus spoken, he kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. They knew he was telling the truth. They knew the life that he lived. And when you're the kind of preacher that Paul was, you do the kind of preaching that he did, it'll cause brethren to love you, respect you, and appreciate you. And when you start to leave, they'll weep. And they'll embrace you. And they'll kiss you. Because of the love and appreciation that they have for you. How different would it have been had Paul not been the kind of preacher he was? And how different can it be if we're not the kind of preacher that God wants us to be as we go out in life? Or the kind of preacher's wife that gives that proper encouragement to her husband? May God help us to be like the Apostle Paul. Thank you.